out something. We're going to look at that because that prophecy, although was given by Isaiah in 58, it applies to us today. It directly applies to us today. To me, if I find a prophecy in the scripture that directly applies to me today, that was given back then, that to me is significant, very significant. So we have to take a closer look at it and see if we're actually doing what has happened. So what I see in this is we have this contradiction, as it were, of what's being taught and what the scripture says. So what's being taught could have been framed from tradition. Matter of fact, we know that tradition plays a big role in what people believe today. Big role. Now, we can be overridden from just basic Bible study by a traditional stubbornness. We can just kind of, we can read it and we hear it, but we don't apply it in our life, or we make no adjustments to repair the breach. So we, it's because the tradition seems to be what everybody is doing. And if everybody's doing it, it can't be so bad. How can it be so bad? The question is, how can that many people be fooled? Let me ask this question. How many people you think Satan wants to fool? Just some? And so we find just a few fooled and we say, oh, they don't really, you know, a few's going to be fooled. The question is, how many of you think does he want to fool? He wants to fool everyone. So don't get caught up where you think, well, if it would be wrong, why would everybody be doing it? Because tradition can take such a foothold that we can read the truth and not be able to make that adjustment. It takes an active positioning of ourself in a word of God through certain things that requires us to get closer to him in order for us to understand or be enlightened, as it were. And I'll read that to you. So we're going to start out by reading Isaiah 58 through and then come back and look at it maybe verse by verse for a few, maybe that's all we'll get to tonight, but I definitely want to look at that. So Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1. Now our key verse, I could go down and read that key verse that I gave to you. Now how many remember what year that was? Does anybody remember what year we did, and you shall be called repairers of the breach, restorers of places to dwell? It was on a big old thing back here. Was it? No, that would have been later than that. Yeah, but it meant much later than that. Because we were just getting into bringing in for the rebuild. Anyway, it was, I'll tell you when it was. 2001, we received the prophecy. All right? 2001, 4 years into that prophecy. Katrina hit, and then it would have been the end of the prophecy 7 years. When that? 2008. Because that's when I said, Lord, we finished the 7 years. Within 7 years, you'll be under. Here we are, what now? And that was the verse of scripture the Lord gave to me. And you shall be called repairers of the breach, restorers of places to dwell. Now, at that particular time in 2008 is when the journey started with me going through scripture. This is my own personal study. I didn't indicate that to anybody here. But I understood what Isaiah 58 meant. I understood what he said there. But this is what's stopping you from gaining the insight you need in order for you to break from tradition. 2008. I didn't reveal any of that teaching to anybody until years after that. 2008 was initiated. So I just want you to see this journey. It's not easy to break that because you can be doing it for so many years. You consciously have to make an effort to repair the breach. It's a rupture, and you consciously, you can, you know, if there was one particular area that we would pass from time to time on the highway here, and there was always water. It could be 90 degrees outside, and hadn't rained for weeks, and there was a water puddle, right? What is that? It's a leak. It's a breach in the water line. It wasn't nobody's private home. It was just like the parish line. And we'd always talk about it. Wonder when they're going to fix that. Then it went on in a month, in 2 months, in 6 months, a year, the second year. I'm like, wow. And maybe we thought maybe that's what they wanted. You could get, oh, it's okay. It becomes okay. And there's just a breach, and it's, and you get, well, it's what it is. Well, there have been many breaches in what God institutes for his people over time, over a long period of time. And if we're repairers of the breach, restorers of places to dwell, we got to know what that activity is, and are we actually working actively to be doing that? Well, let's look at this key verse that I gave back in 2008, some thereabouts. Okay, it's verse number 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. How many, this is just coming back to you now, that verse. Thou shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. Okay? So, again, keep that in mind. There's a lot of stuff going on in this verse, but we're going to focus on the repairers of the breach. Now, that word came to me as I asked the Lord, what now? And he said this. I'm going to read it again because I'm asking this question and I get this reply. And they that shall be of thee. Who's they that shall be of thee? Everybody say us. Okay? Because that's the answer. They that shall be of thee shall do what? Shall build the old waste places. Isn't that amazing? They shall build the old waste places. Thou shall raise up. Together we'll raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shall be called. Why did you call somebody repairs of the breach? Because they are doing what? You don't call people repairs of the breach if they're not repairing the breach. They have to be actively doing that. The repairers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. Now go to verse number 1, and we'll take us through these verses and see where we are. I'm going to talk about some things I think that will really help us today. Now, verse number 1, he says this. Cry aloud. Cry aloud, spare not. When he says cry aloud and spare not, that means give it all. Just let it go. Lift up thy voice like a... Does that mean be quiet? That means, does that mean mumble a prayer? No, I'm a, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. Now, he's telling Isaiah, what I want you to do is I want you to cry loudly, spare not, give it all you got. And I want you to lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their what? Transgressions. Notice that. Show my people their transgressions. and the house of Jacob their sin. Now, before we can get verse 12 where it actually is operating, his people have to hear what the prophet is saying. Now, I want to tell you this. The prophet is prophesying way before Christ even comes, before Messiah comes. Yet, this applies directly to us today. So I want you to think about it. You, us that are here, those that aren't here, those who live on this peninsula, those who live in this state, those who live in this country, those who live all over in this world, this applies. So he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. This is going to be, this is a loud broadcast. This is an urgent broadcast. If you're going to warn somebody of something, I was watching a video a while back on the tsunami that hit Japan. And when the sirens went off to warn the people, because they have sirens that'll go off. How many's ever been traveling? We've been traveling in different parts of the country. They'll have sirens, speakers on poles for tornadoes, and those sirens will go off. Well, we're not used to sirens. You hear that and you go, what's going on? You know, they're loud. You know, if you're going to warn somebody, you're not going to, hey, you know, I'd really like to just talk with you for a moment, you know. We're not talking about that. You want to do that, there's times that's going to happen. But this particular moment of the prophet's message, what does he tell them? He says, this has to be an alarming type of presentation. It has to, you have to alarm them, because what's coming warrants that alarm. Does that make sense? It warrants this type of alarm. So, verse number 2. Yet they seek me daily. And delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. And thou seest not. I want you to take note of this. This looks like people who basically have made proclamation of their life that I'm a believer. You know, I try to do right. I do the best that I can. I'm trying to be a friend to my neighbor, my coworker, and I go to church. Wherefore, we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Why are you not seeing this? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Now they're pleading their case. We do feast days. See, afflicting the soul is talking about the Day of Atonement. Remember in the Day of Atonement, I did the teaching. He said, therefore, have a time when you afflict your soul. He said, we do the feast days. And thou, see, now if you don't know anything about feast days or you haven't studied that, when you read this, this don't even cross your radar. See how important it is to have the Torah portion? Because you can read that, that won't even register in your mind. And even doing it, we still have to train ourselves that those terminologies, that's what he's talking about. We have to train ourselves in those ways. So he says, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Thou takest no knowledge? They say, this is what we do. What are you doing? Now, who's the conversation with? Who they're requesting this? Their questions are going to. Because there's questions here. We do this. You're not doing this. We do this. You're not doing that. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Now, there's a reply, because that's the reply. Now, this conversation they're making this conversation with Elohim through the prophet. Now, the prophet let them know with a loud cry, he didn't spare not a voice of a trumpet, hey, here's the deal. Well, they're saying, well, we're doing all this stuff, but we don't see the results. And he says, the reason you don't see the results, because it becomes to you doing stuff. There's a reason I asked you to do that stuff, so you can get closer to me. So, see, you can fast and not get closer to God. You can do Torah portion and learn nothing. You can celebrate the feast days and don't even realize what you're doing. Why? Because you bring in the same mind where the traditional mind was stamped in you. You bring that in to the elements of understanding the truth about the scripture. That has to go away. You basically got to wring out. How many's ever done anything with a sponge? You know, I lay some floor tile, and you're going to wipe the floor tile, and you take a sponge that's wet, and you start wiping it, and then eventually you wiping, and you say, okay, it ain't going nowhere now. What you got to do? You got to wring your sponge out, because you can wipe all night long. You say, well, I got a sponge, and I'm trying to get it up, but it's already full. Sometimes you got to empty out. You got to say, okay, Lord, my fasting, I'm a fast. I'm calling a fast for myself. But my fast is to empty out so I can get closer to you. Less of me, more of you. That's what I want. That ought to be on your mind when you're doing it, not, hey, I'm going to do a fast. I'm going to be good. You know, I feel good about it. That's what it became to them. They were doing all this stuff. But they weren't getting closer to Elohim. They weren't getting closer where they needed to be. So that's why we have this statement, this kind of interaction. He said, behold, you fast for strife and debate, verse 4, and to smite with the fist of the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on him, on high. He said, listen, if you want to do it, you can't do it how you've been doing it. So how do we gauge that? Here's how you gauge it. If you're doing something and you feel like, you know what, I'm participating, I'm faithful, and you get no results, you got to change something. Well, let me tell you what people do. They say, well, I ain't getting no results. So some people go back to the old man, the old nature. Well, that's some real fixing up. No, you make adjustments in the relationship. You don't throw the relationship away. And this is what he's saying. He said, I'm willing to make an adjustment in our relationship. Because remember, it's not God that broke the covenant here. But he said, let's make some adjustments here. I'm going to keep loving you like I've been loving you. I'm going to keep being faithful like I've been. But you can't keep doing what you're doing. All these things you're doing appear to be right. But they have become nothing more than traditional mindsets that you have put in place. He said, I want you to change that. So what happens is, what initiates the fast? The problem. And he says, why do you have to have a problem to spend time with me? What initiates the prayer? The problem or the crisis. And he says, why do you have to have a crisis to spend time with me? See, what initiates why you spend time with God could be what you have accepted and put between you and God. What about the fact that he's your father and you just want to love on him? What about that? Lord, I don't need anything right now. What I need is to just spend time with you. That's what he's asking them to do. And let me tell you, the reward is great for that behavior. It's very great. So in verse 5, it says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is it such a fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Notice that. What's the purpose in God calling a fast? What's the purpose? Loose the bands of the wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. So the question is, you saying you do this, I'm asking you, are you doing it the way I've asked you to do it and for these purposes? Very important. Now, he says this in the next verse. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thine house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. It's recognizing, because what happens when you fast? You start, all of a sudden, your insight's going to increase. Now, you're not fasting for your insight to increase. What are you doing it for? To spend time with the Most High. But what happens when you spend time with the Most High? You have increase. See, you're going to get a result, but that shouldn't be what drives you to spend time with Him. Very important. I want to spend time with Him. Why do I want to read and study? Because I know that when I apply myself to the words of Elohim, if I let the words of Yahweh become real to me, it's going to change me. It realigns me. It resets me what I need to be. Because as good as we think we are, we can't even, we so many times get so busy trying to keep up with other people, not realizing we can't even keep up with ourselves. Who would like to take a paper out right now and give me a list of issues that you know personally that you just give them to me. Write them down. You got 10 seconds. Write down five that you got to deal with. See, we lose sight of that because we got stuff going on. We're busy. Sometimes we're busy because we don't have to look at the reality of what we got. I want to go somewhere because I don't really have to think about right here. Well, guess what happens when you come back? It's still right here. It don't go away. What happens with, so you know that's who we are. That, and God knows that's who we are. So what does He say do? Hey, I know all that. He's saying, listen, I know that. But let me tell you what you do. Come spend time with me. And when you get out of that encounter, stuff is done. That is what He's training us and teaching us to do. So, wow, this is a journey He's taking us on. It is to deal thy bread and hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So, verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. What He says is going to happen? He said, then, after you realize this, that you can, well, in the kind of the way I do it, one of the things we got to learn is quit doing it the way we think we got to do it. Get up and allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead and guide you and direct you. Lord, you direct my steps. You direct me in the path that I need to be in. And I want to submit to the Word. Whatever that is, I want to yield to the Word of God. And you spend that time with the Lord and whatever it is. You don't have to tell somebody, yeah, I think I'm going to fast this week. That's a traditional mind that's trying to initiate a wonderful principle that can bring a lot of benefit to your life, but now it won't because you had to announce it. But nobody knows, because the one needs to know is the Most High, and you don't have to tell Him what you're going about to do. He already knows the intent of your heart. You have to announce it to Him. You just got to, you know what? This moment, Lord, it's not for you to look at the clock and say, hey, 20 more minutes, 20 more minutes, I'm eating that hamburger. And you feel like you accomplished something, that you made it 6 hours. I made it 6 hours, or whatever it is. And you're feeling good about that. I did something. And then we take that as some spiritual glory on us. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But listen, when you lock yourself in with Him and say, Father, what I want to do, because I normally I'm going to eat at this time. It's what I eat every, I eat it in the morning. When I get up, I eat. This time is when I eat. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab my Bible. And I don't know wherever you want to take me, but one thing, wherever it is going to be good. And I'm going to enjoy this meal with everything that's in me. I'm going to eat it like it's the last time I'm going to get something. This, how many has ever had something good, so good, that you went back and got more? Nobody in here. Isn't that amazing? Ain't nobody in your house can cook? Lord. Let me ask that again. How many here, you had something and it was so good? Man, you said, cool, that was good. Boy, and you went back and you put your more in there. You don't know what level of fullness you was. All you know is your taste buds was going, give me more, give me more, give me more. Now, your stomach, you're not hungry. Hunger went away after the first, second bite. It was so good, though. Has anybody ever experienced that? Oh, I'm glad that I just forgot what country was in here for a moment. You got your seconds. Can you imagine? You get on something. And boy, it's just popping. It's being revealed to you. It's so good. You forget that you just missed breakfast. And it takes you through lunch. That's what God was saying. He said, listen, it's not just thinking that you miss it, that all of a sudden you've accomplished something, and then you're trying to draw your strength from your accomplishment. What if I give you revelation that's so incredible that it drives you to seconds? That's important, valuable for us to see. So, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. You ready for this? And thine health shall spring forth speedily. What? See, sometime we're asking God to do something for us, and He says, okay, I've already done it, and this is how you get it. Step one, step two, step three. You know what amazes me? Sometimes we will do what man says. Right? So if you say to the doctor, I got a headache, it's kind of a headache that keeps coming. He might say, well, it's probably a migraine. And I have some migraine stuff. These are the migraine things. You take, this is what it says, and I don't know what it is because I've never had a migraine, so I don't know how many you got to take, but on there it's going to have take one every 4 hours or whatever. Let's just say one every 4 hours. So you're going to take one and then wait 4 hours. Right? Because you don't want to have what? A migraine. And you do it just like it said, and it works, and you have no migraine. If one ever pops up on you again, what are you going to do? You're going to go back and do the same thing because you know it works. Why not do it the way He prescribes? You say, well, not working for me. I can assure you, if it's not working for you, you didn't do the prescription. If you do the prescription, it's going to work, because if not, God is a liar. Who wants to take that position? Well, we call God a liar. He said, you do this, this is going to happen. And that's what He's teaching us here, to get us ready to do what? Repair the breach. Because remember, He tells us what we got to do in order to prepare us or train us to repair the breach. The breach is a rupture. It's a bad rupture. But He says, I'm going to teach you how to repair it. So listen again to this wonderful verse, Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth. Anybody ready for something to break forth? I've been asking the Lord, I say, God, we need a break forth. Oh, you need a break forth. God, we need health and healing. And oh, you do? Really? Well, come over here. I'm going to take you to this spot. Then unless you fulfill that, it won't happen. You're not getting a light to break forth, and the health won't come speedily because you hadn't done this. Brother Chad called me. He said, "Hey, Pastor, you got anything else you want to teach on the 30th? I said, "Oh, I think I might have a couple things I'd like to talk about." I said, what kind of question that was? Maybe I'll come up with something. I'm sure of it. Whew. There ain't enough services if you come every week for us to try to get caught up. That's why I encourage you. I'm giving you information. Go home. Take some time. Look at it for yourself. Because we don't have enough days in the week if we came every day to get all the stuff that I believe we need to prepare us for the return. That's why you have to be actively involved in working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What happens when you hear the cry that's so loud that the prophet don't hold back? He cries aloud and his voice is like a trumpet. What does that put in people? I was watching this video, them sirens going off, people were running. They were running all over, frantically running. Fear came on them. It's coming, the wave's coming. They're running all over. That's how we should approach this. We should look at it. You know what? It's important. Valuable. So then shall the light break forth as the morning. Oh my, that's important. Huh? The light breaks forth as the... See, in my room, if I have the bathroom door open, I have a window in the bathroom that faces the east. So on the east side of the house. And if it, you know, I can see the light. The starts to get light outside. Through the trees, I could see it. Well, that's an indicator to me, it's time to go. And that's if I don't have a trip. That's just regular day. If I have a trip, I've been going. I see that coming up when I'm down getting ready. But I see that all the time. I notice that light. If I don't want, you have to close the door because it's coming. There ain't nothing stopping it. It's coming. Who here got the power to say to the sun, "Don't come up"? Do you see what he's saying here? He says, then. When you accomplish, when you change the heart attitude of why you do what you do. Why do I go to church? What are you here for? What are you here for? I was talking with Brother Josh. Me and him was having a discussion on this. Because this is a good question that we ought to be approaching every person. And this is coming. Just giving you some heads up. I don't know. What are we here for? What's your point in it? Are you passionate to serve the Lord? Do you really want to obey? Or is it a gathering? Is it a gathering? We can rent the auditorium and gather. The reason we have church, the reason we've come this far, is for us to obey. More than just gathering together. This has got to be serious to you. You know why? Because when it gets serious, then your light will break forth like the morning. That's a promise. It's not, he didn't say maybe. He said then it will break forth like the morning light. Isn't that amazing? Who can do it? I don't care who it is. Listen, all the rich in the world can put all their money together. They're not stopping that sun from coming up. It's God started this, and it's going to come up. And I'm so thankful that I have a promise from the Most High that he tells me, if you get this right, then. Does that help anybody when it says then? So that's telling me before the then starts, we're going to have to get these things right. Because he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. Isn't that amazing? How many of you know what it means for your righteousness to go before you? How many of you know what that means? That means you could talk to somebody from a long distance by way of telephone or what have you, letter, even writing. It'll be in your writing. It'll be in your voice. It'll be in your disposition when you walk into a room. Before you talk to anybody, your righteousness will go before thee. It'll be announced on your behalf when we do things right. I'm telling you. How many want this in your life? Let me tell you, Yeshua, it went before him, his righteousness. Go over there and tell the man, we're going to need to borrow. We need that coat. Just tell him. He went over there and said, the master said we need the coat. Oh, there's the coat. Go tell him we need that room. Went and told him we need the room. Got the room. Let me understand that. That's what God wants to do for you. Not us struggling and trying to figure out how we're going to survive in life. But let me tell you. But doing this is going to make you look like the oddball. I'm going to tell you. The moment you quit doing certain things, that you got them looks, and I can tell you they were conversating about you because they were saying, where are they going now? Not to mention the conversations of how much I'm misleading you. But he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. As a matter of fact, I come to set against each other the son and the father, the mother and the daughter. I'm like, wow, I read that and I go, okay, you got to explain this to me. Because tradition tells us it's easy to win by love. And let me tell you, God is love. But he loves those who obey him. I mean, it's simple stuff. He loves, and he wants you. Let me tell you, he said, I would that none perish, but all come to know me. He's for you, not against you. I can tell you that. So how many see in this is pretty powerful stuff? He said, then the health springs forth speedily. The righteousness shall go before thee. You ready for this? The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. The glory of Yahweh. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Can you imagine the glory of Yahweh? Let me just give you a little taste of some of the glory of Yahweh. In Corinthians, after the millennial is over, Satan's release, he deceives the nations, the Lord himself comes and destroys Satan. The Antichrist and false prophets are already gone. Yeshua took care of them. But can you imagine the Father comes and he takes Satan. He says, let me just tell you, it's done. You're finished. Then he takes death. Death. And destroys death. And then the glory of Yahweh shall be your reward. The fact that you could be in the presence of Yahweh, in which no one in this building has ever been in that presence. We have an extension of that presence called the Son of God. That's how we even, because who can go in before him without perishing? No flesh can glory in his presence. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be changed. Amen? I hope this is helping you. Verse number 9. Because you could just take so much to be said on that one verse. Verse 8. So much. Then shall thou call. Then shall thy You will call and Yahweh shall answer. Isn't that something? You mean to tell me I'll call my voice and Yahweh will answer? Wow. Now that's something. And Yahweh shall answer Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Here I am. I'm right here. You cry, and here I am. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why we're not doing this. Because tradition is hard to get rid of. We even start doing stuff in different ways. We'll even start keeping Torah. We'll start keeping the feast days. This is what he's telling them. You're doing this stuff, but you're doing it based on tradition. Because you can traditionally do Bible things and not realize the reason he told you to do them things was to not think that if you do them, you gain some prize. If you do them, it's because you obeyed. The obedience is what brings the reward, not the fact that you did something, now you got to get paid. Think about it. I did something, I need to get paid. You approach, that's a traditional mindset to think that. Because what did the Sadducees do? They start talking about what they were doing. We give to the poor. We stand on the street corner. We pray. And the Pharisees, they were against each other. One believed in the resurrection, the other. And it was all Bible stuff. What, did they show up for Passover? Yes, they did. Did they show up for the feast day? All of them. Why wasn't the righteousness gone before? Why wasn't the mourning coming so quickly that it couldn't be stopped? Why wasn't those things happening? Why wasn't the righteousness of Yahweh or the glory of Yahweh coming? Why wasn't that happening? Because he tells them, this is what you have to be careful. So you can change things. And we can say, well, we change. We're different. And you can take the same traditional mind that you kept the other things, bring it right in and do the same thing. I feel good because I went to Shavuot. Really? And so you put the kind of chalk that one up. I was there. But what happened to you? I want to talk about how close you got to the Most High when you were there. What did it mean to you? Did it change anything inside of you? What's the purpose? We got to give more thought to what we're participating in. Why are we doing this? Because it just becomes, we've changed doing things, but we're still doing them with the same mind. We're getting, the benefit won't be there. Remember what he's trying to get us at. We're repairers of the breach. We're the ones that take the stuff that's ruptured and we fix it. That's what God's called us to. Thou shalt call and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. Uh-oh. Did anybody see that shift right there? Did anybody just get that? Let me just read it again. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If, there's a change right there. If, do you see it? How many want to say, I got to make sure I take none. Right there is where you stop with your pen. When I'm reading and studying it, that's where I stop with my heart. And I go, okay, let me see what he just said. Because he said, if. Those things are come if thou take away from thy midst, the midst of thee, the yoke. How many times people come and they're yoked? And so, yes, hard to get. We can sing till we're blue in the face. You know, we sing two songs. We sing three. Why don't we sing five? We sing six. If you come with a yoke, we can't help you. Do you understand that? You got to take the yoke away because you know the promises are yea and amen. They're facts. He said them. He's going to do them. You can't come yoke down because we can't sing the yoke off of you. How many understand that? And that's what people do. Then they go home disappointed. Because they think, well, I came, nothing happened. And let me tell you where the yokes get removed. Church is a place to celebrate the yoke that got off of you because you refuse to keep doing the stuff you've been doing, getting the same results. You refuse that. You said, I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to grab your Bible, and you're not going to say, okay, I read 10 scriptures. There's got to be 10 blessings to it. You're going to quit that. You're going to say, I'm going to read, and I'm going to apply that to my life. And I'm going to humble myself on my face, on my floor, in my closet. And when I go to church, I'm going there to celebrate what happened to me all week long because I had an encounter with the Most High. That's the real deal. That's where it really happens. Man, I'm telling you, this is great stuff. I was debating whether I need to preach this on Sunday. But it don't matter when I preach it. I preach it. If there's two of you here, I'd preach it in the same intensity. It doesn't matter to me because I'm here to do what God said. This is what he says. And so all week, there were little things, just little grab me's, all week long of different things here and there. And I say, God, only you can put that together. Only you can. And there's one thing, you're going to have to let my mind retain it. Let my mind retain it because I yield to you by your spirit. I want you to let me retain because amidst of getting things here and there, there's also stuff that we don't need to retain. Listen, if you're in the truth, you don't have to fear about anything that comes along the path because the truth will be the thing that sets you free. You'll be free from any type of bond. But if you don't pray that, if you don't yield to the principles of the Lord, you'll be led astray. So if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the yoke is in the midst of us. Remember, the midst of thee. And the putting forth of the finger and speak in vanity. It's his fault. I'm just letting y'all know. I'd be much better off if it wouldn't be for her. Well, I don't even know why I said that, because definitely we ain't got that problem here. If we do those things, we get the above. How many got the then? In the if, you got that, remember that, you make a note, that's a line, you put a line, that right there, forward slash, because that right there is the separating line, you got to look at both of them, this is yours if this happens, if you do this, then that comes into place, very, very, very important. So, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, right, we can stop right there and just go on. Well, now the whole message on that part right there. The putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Listen, there's things that come out of our mouth that don't make a bit of sense. It don't make a bit of sense. Listen to me tell you about good practice. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to practice. This is something I need to work on and practice. If I spend more time saying something that's vanity, it don't have to be vanity to you. God says his vanity is vanity, right? Well, to me, it don't matter what it means to us, right? If he says that's vanity, what is it? It's vanity. So if I'm spending, I spend 10 minutes kind of putting forth the finger and speaking vanity about somebody, okay? But I only spend a second, not even a second sometimes, giving thought to how much I prayed for them. Then I'm thinking God is going to call that vanity. You understand? So we got to do some readjusting here. We got to make sure we're readjusting ourselves. How many of you ever seen something like really? You don't really like what they're doing. Right? So what's the first thing you do? You go tell them? No. You go to the Lord, go before the Lord, and you make sure, say, God, am I doing that? Because sometimes we recognize what other people are doing, For fear that we see we ain't doing the same thing. So it's easier for to process it if I could point it out in them and never have to look at me, because God knows I'm better than them. See? So what's the first thing you do? Not go to them. That's the worst thing to do. What do you do? How many times people had this going, "Why pastor ain't saying nothing?" Because he's busy calling their name out before God, so he does the right thing when he goes. You ever thought of that? He's busy because he's not going to go quick to do something without first saying, "Hey, am I acting that way? Because I could be doing the same thing, and it sure don't look good if I'm going to tell them to quit if I'm not doing it." So you got to go to God and say, "God, I want to make sure, Lord, that I'm doing what I'm expecting from somebody else. Am I doing that? Because if I'm not, then it don't, why would I say anything?" Then once you got that cleared up, and it doesn't take long, you can clear that up if you're honest. If people get honest with themselves and God, you can clear that up pretty quick. You just quit. You quit doing it. And then you go to them. Considering, he said, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, what's that next word? Spiritual. Not doing the same thing. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness. Meek. Blessed are the meek. Very important. And so you do that, things happen. Things change. You get enlightenment. The Lord will give you revelation. Let me tell you, nobody just gets a give me revelation. These things happen because we humble ourselves before God, and we ask the Lord for information. He shows us and directs us, and we got to be listening, and we got to take some time. Is it a sacrifice? You better believe it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you get up in the middle of the night and you read for a couple of hours. It's okay. You know what? You're going to get to sleep the next night. That's how you, and you can't say, "Well, God, you know, I'm tired. I got to sleep too." You might as well go to bed. Because the moment you just did that, that's it. That's fasting. Like he said, you're doing it, but what, you get nothing because you think somehow you get a reward. There's no reward. What do you mean a reward? I promise you immortality and eternal life. What else you want? Seriously, what you want? A house? So people say, "Yeah, I want the house." Not realize a trade-off. If you seek for God, you get all the other things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things shall be added unto you. Very key verse. They get added. I'd like to do more, but I'm busy. You know, I got a job. All that stuff's great. But they can't be, you can't take what God requires of us and say, "Well, you know, I'm going to do a few duties, church duties or whatever," and it equal out. It doesn't happen that way. So I'm not going to spend more time on the finger, putting forth the finger, and speaking vanity, but it's a serious issue. Verse number 10. And, is he finished when he starts the next verse with "and"? No, because it's "and if." You see, sometimes we study and we just run over the "and if" words. And that's the indicating words that tells us what our posture should be, because it tells me, I need to start paying attention here, because he's about to tell me something that's critical. "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul," the afflicted soul, think about the afflicted, satisfy the afflicted soul, "then shall thy light rise in obscurity." Who wants that? I want it. Because listen, when we do these things, your light, what are we? What did Yeshua say? You are the light of the world, but your light will rise in obscurity. And that's something. Because how many of you felt like, you know what? It seems like nobody's listening. Nobody's really paying attention. Especially after, I mean, you're giving it all you got. You're trying to be as faithful as you can. and you're trying to be a witness, and it's like you're getting no breakthrough. You're telling people, but they're going like 90 miles an hour in the wrong direction, and you go, God, I'm supposed to be the light of the world. Why am I not getting? He said, your light will raise in obscurity. There's a lot of things that have surrounded and has blocked the light from shining forth. And he's telling us, these are some of the things. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry. How many of you know there are people that are hungry? What do you do? Draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. That's a standard of living that we have to abide by in order for that to happen. I hope this is challenging you tonight. So then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Is that a big change? That's major. Anybody ready for this? Major change. Verse 11. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Does it matter if a drought's coming? It doesn't matter if we're doing what he asks us to do, because what is he going to do to us in the drought? Satisfy your soul in drought. Ready for this? And make fat thy bones. And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. A watered garden. Make fat your bones. Can you see? Why is the bones good? What happens if somebody is suffering from deterioration of the skeletal frame, the bones? What happens to them? What's some known factors? Well, they get shorter. Do you know that people have shrunk in stature because their bone structure is suffering from deteriorating, and they actually could have been, you know, say 6 foot tall, and now they're only 5'8". That's known factors that you can suffer from deterioration of the bones, and you can actually start getting shorter than what you are. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to strengthen your bones. So your structure, or the structure that I'm giving you a sphere of impact, and in order for you to impact that surrounding, I need you to be standing tall, straight, and firm. So I'm going to make fat your bones. When you're trying to gain, how many know you go in a competitive field? Maybe you went to college or whatever, and you go into a competitive field. Well, if it's competitive, you're going to have to be at your best in order to get the best paying spots. I mean, you have to get your stuff right. Well, what God's saying to us, if we do what he asks, he's going to give us the structure that we will stand tall as he wants us to, without losing our posture, without losing anything, no matter what, we'll stand strong. You go on in these things. It's amazing what is we see throughout this scripture. So, wow. This thing going way longer than I thought. I didn't even get, I'm just trying to read the introductory to the scripture. And I got to get to verse 14 is where I was headed. And I want to read that verse to you. So I'm going to read the rest through, and then we're going to stop, and I'm going to catch this later. But I want to read this part to you. So he says in verse 11, Yahweh shall guide thee continue, satisfy thy soul in the drought, make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like the watered garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. Isn't that amazing? Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, verse 12. So we get into that verse 12. I opened up with that. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste place. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Notice this. If thou turn thy foot away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasures on my holy days, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Notice that. Then there's that then again. See that then? Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh. What it means to delight in Yahweh? To delight in Yahweh, you can get, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. Thank you, Lord. Thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the, where? Is this a right now thing? Yeah, because this is where we're at. I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. That's really what I was going to get to, and I didn't get to talk about it at all. So that means there's another part. All right? How do we know that's a promise? I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Why? For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. So I'm going to teach on the heritage of Jacob. Because he says, I'm going to feed you with the heritage of Jacob. What is that? Think about it. What is the heritage of Jacob? That's what it, how many think we should know what it is? That way, when we start getting it, we know that we're in that spot. We at that spot means we accomplished everything above to get to there. Once you start receiving the heritage of Jacob, so I need to teach you what the heritage of Jacob is. That way, you know when you start living in it, it'll be yours. Okay? Well, thank you so much. We got started here in this. There's so many things, and it might be me, one of the other guys, Brother Josh, teaching the rest of it. It doesn't have to be me doing the rest, but there's a lot of information here, but I want to get to the heritage of Jacob. So kind of expect that. We'll start at verse 12 and get us into that part and see where we can go from there. Amen? Well, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I hope that these instructions that we received tonight through the teaching will become real to us, and we'll start living out these things. It's absolutely incredible. So we'll see you on Saturday for Torah portion, and then on Sunday morning for our regular service. God bless you.